Wrestle Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX Network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Wrestling fans, guess who has Combat Wombat? And I heard tonight, yes, I've got Johnny Lucas. He's come back, he's fired up. Well, guess what? So is this little wombat. Fear the fur, baby! I'm coming for you, Johnny Lucas! Hoorah!
Oh, yeah!
Make some noise!
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the voice of Explosive Pro Wrestling, me, Dean Olsen.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is five times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Claire in English.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Welcome to the show, folks. My name is Josh Armour. And as always, thank you very much for checking out Wrestle Radio Australia, wherever you found it. If it's on fnx.network, great. If it's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any of those other great places you can find podcasts, awesome. Thanks for getting on board. Today, we're going to be chatting with Josh Shooter. Well, not today. It was actually pre-recorded a few days ago before MCW's Caged Warfare, which we talked about a little bit leading up to the show. And from all reports, it was absolutely awesome. Air juicy in effect in the main event. And yeah, really cool to chat with Josh about his trip to Japan, the UK, and all that good stuff. And of course, ice cream. We did talk about ice cream and donuts. So first up, I want to just talk quickly about a show that I caught a couple of weeks ago, about a week ago, and we talked about it a while ago on the show here with Mason Childs, Australian Wolverine. It was AWA Live's Grindhouse, which was streamed on livestream.com/EastTigers/AWA. So you can check it out, absolutely free. And yeah, it was meant to be streamed live as the show happened, but they had to sort of postpone the streaming till, I think it was Sunday afternoon. So yep, and it's still up there if you want to go and have a look at it. So I'll just go through the matches quickly, and I won't be a shipmate, Todd Eastman, if you're listening. I won't be a shipmate, even though the spoilers and the results have been out there on Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook. Full of plugs, aren't I? It's inadvertent, but yeah, that's where you can find all the info on that show and others, Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook. So I'll just go through the matches here and just a few things that I sort of noted and thought were worth pointing out. So let's get into Rufio versus AJ Istria versus Australian Wolf, Mason Childs, versus Koi Bombora for the number one contendership for the AWA title held by Jonah Rock of TMDK. Now, AJ and the whole pulling out promo at the start before the match, that was hilarious stuff there with Rufio. They got a bit of an angle going there, and you'll see what it's all about. But yeah, being the 18 plus format, pulling out could mean anything. So the match itself was great. Australian Wolverine, who was on a recent episode, as I mentioned earlier, of WRA, really shows why he's one of the most respected wrestlers in Queensland at the moment. AJ Istria, world-class wrestler, as far as I'm concerned. Rufio, he's a rad high flyer, really good wrestler in general. And Koi Bombora, fan favourite here, it seemed, with heaps of Koi chants. And by the sounds of things, a lot of regular sort of fans in the house. So as Mason mentioned, you know, they're starting to really develop a fan base up there, which is awesome stuff. There were a couple of matches that I didn't actually catch, so I won't sort of review those, but you can go on there and check those out as well. I think one was Lucas Gold in action, so you can check that out. Now, with AWA, it's all about the wacky characters and really offbeat sort of pro wrestling, real Chikara style stuff. Darth Mysterio and Generalismo Vader versus John Jeremy, right? And Maurizio Del Taco. And Jeremy and Del Taco were just hilarious, especially Del Taco and the commentary team were having fun with that, all the tequila and tacos on hand. It was a bit of a lucha themed night, if I'm not mistaken. So we also had the powerhouse players, Savage and Triple X Rated, versus Blair Seeker and Chet Jacobs. Savage, the big man, he's an absolute beast, and I reckon with a bit more seasoning in the ring, he could really be something great. He's just an absolute, a real presence, you know. So yeah, good stuff there. Reminds me a lot of the of Rampage Brown from Progress over in the UK. Just absolute killer. You got Johnny Lucas versus Combat Wombat, my favourite new character in Australian wrestling, Combat Wombat, who you may have heard at the top of the show. Humanity, Mantis, and Turbo Wolf versus Bailong 13 and Ultra Lion. And Humanity, part Clam, part John Cena, part world's laziest stoner, and hungriest as well. Mantis has improved heaps since I last saw him down here for RCW about a year ago. Really seems to have found his feet in the ring. I don't know if it's just me, but yeah, he looks like he's come along leaps and bounds. So yeah, also keep an ear out and an eye out for Commissioner Matty T. He's brilliant on the mic, real cool presence on camera, and I reckon we might have to get him on the show here. I reckon he'd be top value. All up, it's about 2.5 hours of action, or 2 hours of action. So and I loved it because it was something different. Also, you know, Wrestle Clash in Melbourne, they've got the 18 plus shows. The reason that does so well is because it's something different that you don't see all the time, you know. And the 18 plus angles, the filthy crowd chants and all that sort of stuff in this environment, it doesn't feel out of place. Much like Progress in the UK, where it's 18 plus, you know, there's going to be, you know, F-bombs dropped and all this sort of jazz, and it's fine because people go in knowing what they're in for, so it works. And production wise it was not too bad. I'd say that with the audio, the only thing I'd say is with the commentary, a couple of the guys were coming through just blaring through the mix, and then our mate Chris Dalgleish from Pacific Pro was sort of, you know, way down low, and I'm like, oh, come on, bring up the mix so I can bring up Chris in the mix so I can hear him a bit better. But yeah, you know, once I get that on point, it'll be sounding fine. And yeah, honestly, it's well worth checking out. You know, it's free and it's practically the full show. So yeah, plus a heap of promos in there, backstage promos and whatnot before the matches. So yeah, worth checking out for sure. Livestream.com/EastTigers/AWA. Go and check that out. And I'll put the link in the show notes as well. So yeah, well worth having a look. And I think there's another one coming up in about 3 or 4 weeks. So we might get someone on from AWA to have a chat before that one. Now we'll take a break here for FNX.network, and then I'll be back with my chat with the Axe, Josh Shooter. Yeah.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's been edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. You don't need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
All right, I am here with a fellow who's been travelling around the UK. He's been just recently been to Japan, and he's back in Australia. It's the Axe, Josh Shooter, and we're finally fucking doing this. It's great.
We're finally doing this, Josh. It's taken long enough, and I'm still waiting on that sub. And it's going to be a foot long with extra meat. It's going to be steak and cheese, and it's going to be a multigrain bread.
And avocado, all that extra good stuff.
Of course, all the extras that cost money.
I'm going to pay for that big time, more than I know. In around 2024, I'm thinking if we can keep this going, it'll be good.
When did that all start? When did that start? I think it started in 2013, in mid-2013, when you were going to get lunch, and I'm like, oh, yeah, grab me a sub, and you just never grabbed me a sub. And I'm like, ah, you owe me a sub. I think that's how it all started. It was like a year and a half ago.
Oh, I thought you were just shit stirring and be like, oi, buy me a sub, oi, come on, buy me a sub. And I was just like, all right, I'll get to it. And so it was like, yeah, months later that, you know, I was approached again and I was like, oh yeah, all right. And then I just bailed on that. I weaseled my way out of it.
All the best times have been around food. I mean, I remember a time when Todd Mitchell had me in a leg walk in the middle of the ring and there was pizza that was brought to the venue when we were setting up. And then the only person that helped me was Demi. She brought a slice to pizza, like Hulk Hogan reaching for the hot tag with WrestleMania happening and everything else. It was that moment where Demi brought me the pizza. I had enough strength to fight out and get out of the leg lock. It was amazing. All the best times at RCW were over food or AB's or Billy's, some form of food.
There's $100 million there. It was a big one.
Exactly.
Jules, if you're listening, g'day, mate. Nice one, brother.
Superdome.
at the Superdome, the Silverdome, the Hulkadome, brother. So you've been to the UK. You've been doing your thing over there. And that was when you spoke to Todd Eastman, it was about a month ago on the show.
It was the night before, and I was in Manchester, and Tony Storm and I were tagging against Violet Viola and Mark Morgan at Infinite Promotions, and we ended up winning the match anyway, so not too bad. Winner, chicken dinner. And from there on out, we had a handful of other shows before I headed off to Japan.
Basically, when you had the deal lined up to go to Japan, how did that sort of come about? Like, you just threw your name out there, or you knew somebody through somebody and they helped you organize bookings? What was the go?
Well, from the first time I did Japan, I was relying on the place I was going to last time and everything else. I'm like, yep, sweet, nice and easy. And so when my flights for England were booked, I just made sure it was a return ticket was booked en route to Japan. I'd stay in Japan for a month and get as much as I could out of it. But things fell through last minute, so I ended up without anything. And Lady Beard really helped me out there, between Lady Beard, Sayazawa, which is my graphic designer who helps with my T-shirts. But yet I'm speaking to Tom Green from RCW, and he's helped me out currently. So I'll have a few new T-shirts in the next month or so to sell at shows. But those two people really helped me out there, and I got on Lady Beard's show. And the fans over there are stupidly respectful. They'll come up to you with giant signs they want you to sign. They'll just take photos of you signing stuff. They'll message you, they'll say they want gifts, they'll buy you lunch, they'll buy you dinner. And I even went out a few times with sponsors, and the sponsors basically take you out, you drink as much as you want, you eat as much as you want, whether it's Korean barbecue or whatever, and they just want to take photos with you and just enjoy your company. So it was great, and I had a great experience over there. Even with the language barrier, it's all simple caricatures and everything else that you just explain to them.
How does the sponsors, because I've been meaning to ask you how the sponsors thing works. Is this are these sponsors of the promotion that sort of do this for you? Are they people who are like sort of semi-fans, and they go like, okay, well, let's give this guy an experience of Japan and hope that he has a good impression of us? Or are they just, how does that the sponsors thing really work?
The way it worked for me, I don't know, maybe other people are going to have other stories and how other people had different connections, is they'd just be super fans of shows or fans that own restaurants or have a working relationship and they want to treat the wrestlers, or maybe it's part of the working agreement. In the same way, some Australian shows will have a pizza company, a local pizza company on their poster, and they'll get free pizza after the show. Same style, but it'll be for a restaurant, it'll be for something bigger, and then fans will go down and fans will help cover the bill. So it was great like that. But Demi Bennett was on one of the first shows I was at over there. And because Demi's tour under 20 and I was over 20, she could only drink chocolate milk and have sushi all night. And Demi doesn't like raw fish and she can't drink alcohol, so she was stuck just sipping on chocolate milk. And she had to watch me get shit-faced on the sake of the sponsors.
She'll get her time, I'm sure.
She'll get her time, and she's doing great over there at the moment. I mean, I think yesterday she had a three-way with the Australian Alex Lee that's been moved over in Japan for a few years now. Yep. And she was in Canada and developmental for a little bit, and New Zealand's Leanne, So she's doing great over there, and I've caught up with her a few times, and I caught up with Sayazara and a few other people, and even Tezuka, which is a Japanese man that's helped out a lot of Australians going over there and checking out Riberias and many of the sites. But when I went over there, I started messaging around promoters, trying to get something, whether it was trying to train with DDT, 01, or anything else. And it was funny enough, when I went down to the C01 show with, say, that I spoke to one of the owners down there and the booker, and I was invited down to training. And so from there, I went down to the training. I trained with them for a week or so, and they enjoyed what they seen at training, and I got offered a spot on a tour show. And the tour show, the first show was an overnight drive where it was 12 hours away. We wrestled, we set up the venue, set up the ring and everything else. Just like how you hear stories about everyone in Japan sets up the ring and then helps with the venue. It's all legit. Everybody does it. There's no slackers. There's no one that just shuffles away in the background and avoids it. Everyone from Masada Tanaka was setting up the ring, so there was no exceptions. And then from there, I had a few days off, and then I went on a seven-day tour with them. And that was great. We ended up driving further and further each day until on the way back it was an 18-hour road trip. And it was hotels every night, but some you think that would be great, but some nights you're only staying there for 3 hours, so you don't get to enjoy anything. Or by the time you finish doing your washing and you're letting it dry and you're bringing it back upstairs, you've already only got 2 hours sleep before you have to head off in the morning at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So you said that like your original plans sort of fell through. What was the reason for the original plans falling through, and how did Lady Beard pretty much save your trip? Because I know you were saying you had bugger all money, and you were just like, oh, fuck, shit, what do I do? What was the go there exactly?
Well, I planned to go over there, and I was going to be staying somewhere, and that kind of fell through a few weeks before I left, so I organized some accommodation elsewhere. Yeah. And through that, I got a message when I touched down in Japan saying that there won't be anyone where I was heading to in the dojo for the month, which didn't make sense because it was cherry blossom season. It was a busy week with Golden Week coming up in a few weeks, and they've got festivals all the time and they've got celebrations, so they always have something going on. And so I found that a bit odd, and so that kind of fell through hearing through my American contact that translates for me. After hearing that, I told Lady Beard what's going on, and I asked for his advice, and he told me I have to be aggressive about it and I have to chase people down and bang on their door. I can't be waiting for them to come to me. So I emailed everyone from New Japan, All Japan, DDT, Freedom. I emailed everyone I could. I heard back from some people and it was, sorry, we don't have anything for you at the moment. And I don't blame them. If I came and I asked for bookings within 3 weeks to a month at any Australian promotion, they would say no. No one would book anyone within a month if they've got a decent schedule and a decent storyline set up. They would need a few months notice. And the only place that ever got back to me was 01 when I seen them at a show. But I had to be aggressive about it, like what Lady Beard suggested. And I went down there and I made sure I chased up and I brought a person that could translate for me. So I had to play it smart. And at the same time, Lady Beard has his own TV show. He has a movie. He acts throughout the week. He helps translate. He does many things. And in 3 days after setting up a Twitter account for his Chinese translated TV show, he got 150,000 followers on Twitter. And I struggled to get up to 1,000 followers. And I've had Twitter for a year and a half now. But he's just got a crazy fan base over there. And so on his TV show, he put out a request saying if anybody knows of any wrestling shows that are looking for foreigners, gaijins, whatever you want to call me, please get in contact. And so he put up my contact details. So there were some fans looking out and everything else. So between Lady Beard's moral support and him trying to always get me a spotlight and everything else, I really owe Lady Beard everything in the trip. Like, everybody could suggest advice, but Lady Beard was the one guy that went out of his way. And he's just so nice like that. Like, he didn't have to, and he could have caught up with me for a beer. But that would have been about it.
Nah, he's. I mean, anyone that's run into him knows how much of a really good guy he is. And we were trying to line it up for the last couple of days to have him here on this chat, because I thought it'd be really cool to have. Well, you thought it'd be cool to have the both of you on. And then I thought, yeah, that'd be really good. But we'll get him on very, very soon. We will. We will work that out. But when you did actually end up sort of, you started working some matches in Japan, you were wrestling some pandas. What's the go there?
I wrestled two pandas, one One was a baby panda and one was an adult panda, and it was more of a test match. So they put me in an easy comedy match because they didn't know if I was good, bad, or you know how there are many body guys out there that can't wrestle. So they decided to throw me in a nice, easy match to see how it can go and see how I listened to instructions. And I kept it simple. I did what they wanted, and they were happy to have me back. It was easy with most of my matches, and throughout the matches I did have, it got easier each day, and each day they wanted more and more. And they wanted me to hit harder and harder, even though I didn't agree on knocking the guy out. But that's the way they work over there, so I had to adjust. Towards the end of the tour, I didn't even have to tell the guy out there, hey, listen, this is what we should do. We should go out there. We should maybe try and work this type of match. Like, we went out there, and we just felt it out there, and it was just great. It was great chemistry towards them, and I just started clicking with their style. But when I started off, I ended up having a tag match with two pandas. Nice, easy comedy match. There are some photos from that. And I don't think any of the photos made the Pro Wrestling Weekly magazine they have, because every night the shows I was on, there was a C4 barbed wire electrified baseball bat death match for the main event. And it's cooler than you think. Like, you think there's going to be blood and guts and everything everywhere, but there is very little blood, and there's two charged, electrified C4 barbed wire baseball bats in the corner, and to charge them you need to go to one turnbuckle, click the switch, and a siren will go off. Then it's live and it's wired and active, and you can hit the guy and it goes off, and it's a giant firework that basically goes off at the guy's face or whatever. But someone will pick it up and they'll go to hit someone with it while it's charged, and the other tag team partner will turn it off. So it's a great story that they always project over.
Sort of one problem I have with that really full-on deathmatch stuff, you know, I just find it hard to get into, because there's sometimes that lacking of psychology. It helps when they can at least, you know, if guys have been feuding for ages or something, then, like, of course it's warranted, you know. You have those fun, like, I always go back to those ones that, you know, those matches that, like, Public Enemy would have on WCW, and they would just have those fun, you know, no DQ matches. Like, that sort of stuff is really cool, but that's
storytelling among good hardcore matches. That's the thing. But I don't agree in razor blades on a giant board surrounded by piranhas with laser beams on their head, with chainsaws on the ringside, and just stupid crazy stuff like that where it looks like it's a part of a Saw movie. I don't agree, and I don't like watching that. That's not to say that there's not a niche for it and there's not a fan base that like that wrestling over technical wrestling. For me, I enjoy technical wrestling, and I enjoy watching it. It's not for me, it's not my style, but I enjoy watching it. That's not to say that there aren't fans that enjoy the blood and guts.
I wasn't aware that those C4 matches still happened in Japan. I know it was a big thing back in the 90s, but I didn't know that they were still doing it regularly.
They still do it, but it's not as violent as you think. There's one or two big bangs, and then it's usually the finish.
Right, yeah. So just going for the theatrical sort of presentation of it rather than the... Yeah, I got you, totally.
Exactly, and there's a lot of suspense because you hear the siren goes off, there's lights that flash and everything else, and then you think the bang's going to happen, and then the tag team partner will turn off the switch so it won't be charged anymore. So it was great to watch those type of matches.
Any matches that you had in the UK and also in Japan, like this recent sort of tour, if you will, that you've done, any that really sort of stand out and workers that people should look out for, whether it's in the UK or perhaps thinking of even bringing them over here, that they can actually bring something to what we do down in Australia?
If there was a worker that should come over here, or if there was a promoter that should bring a worker over here, it's Jimmy Havoc, because he's mindset for the business is just phenomenal, and people are aware of Zack Sabre Jr. and his technical ability. And Jimmy Havoc was trained at the Hammerlock School at the same time as Zack Sabre Jr., and they're real life best friends. But he is such a great heel. There's no one that likes Jimmy Havoc, because sometimes you get the fans like that will watch Triple H, and even though Triple H is a bad guy, they'll still support him. There is not one fan that will enjoy Jimmy Havoc, and Jimmy Havoc is such a smart heel with what he does and how great his character work is and everything. I have the most utter respect for Jimmy Havoc. Match wise, I had a phenomenal match with Zach Gibson, and I'm hoping to get that footage online soon. And in Japan, I think the standout match I had was with Obasa, which is a lean Japanese guy, He's 27, and he's about 6 foot tall. Not too bad anyway, but I ended up wrestling the Wrestle One champion in tag team match. I wrestled Jason Lee a few times, and I had a couple single matches with Damon Ueda. And Damon Ueda plays a demon character where he walks out with face paint and a spear like a Japanese samurai.
Yeah.
And he was great to work with anyway, and it got easier each day trying to adapt to their style and the way they run things and the way their crowds perceive things. And it's really more telling the story of the fighting spirit and fighting up over there, literally, because ages ago, Japanese had their competitive sport taken away. That's why they take wrestling so serious. That's why they believe it's more of a sport than a show. But each wrestling promotion have their own style and have their own genre, as DDT do comedy and Zero One focus more on the wrestling and Big Japan do more death matches. Each company has their own niche and market base.
Yeah, that's one thing you notice is that when you do, if I sit down and I'm in the mood for a bit of the Japanese style, you have a look at New Japan and then you have a look at a match, say, from Noah, one of their shows during the week, and then you have a look at DDT. They all are completely different, but there is still similar elements in the way that the guys seem to work as far as the physicality sort of goes. There's no slacking off on the physicality no matter which style you're watching, and I think that's pretty cool because that really keeps that sporting element there for the viewer, that they can still get sucked into the fact that these guys are trying to win a match, which is important, I think.
Lady B will be the first one to tell you that he is a terrible wrestler. He can't wrestle to save his life. He knows the basics. He's fit. He can go toe-to-toe with anybody, and he'll always try 110%. But is he a great entertainer? Does he have a great character? Does he have a great look? Yes, and he's involved with storylines because his character can just be written into anything, and he stands out no matter where he goes, and he speaks Japanese, and so that's why he works so well over there. He works as a comedy worker in DDT, and they focus mainly on comedy, and even though he's at Union Pro, which is one of the many side promotions of DDT, he still gets work enough to make a living over there.
Just amazing what he does in the character of Lady Beard, and how he just went like, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to try and make money with this thing. And it took off, and I guess part of it, is the fact that in Japan they love those wacky type of characters, also colourful, and I guess they get a kick out of the fact that here's this white Australian dude and he's so engrossed in our culture, they appreciate that as well. It's not sort of this thing of like, oh god, is this guy trying to be one of, people look at it and go, well, that's really cool, like that he can maybe take things back to his country. It all seems to be just in general about culture in general, really. Like,
I found that they didn't care so much about if you look like Batista with a six pack and you have a giant chest and biceps. They just care about having a different style of look among people, because if everyone walks out, they all look the same, no one's going to care. And you see the wrestling attire that Okada wears, and it's phenomenal the way it crosses over and everything else. And I was speaking to an English speaking Japanese person that has phenomenal gear, and I asked him, where did he get his gear from? He told me he got it made in Japan off a certain person, and it ended up costing him $500 American. And people over here will complain through getting photos with Man with the Cam, Julie White photography, Corey Lockwood photography, about spending $150 maybe to get a photo shoot done, to get good promo photos, or even going to Savannah Summers or Jack Bonzer or any other wrestling gear making company, and complain about spending maybe $100 on briefs when that's only 100 Australian dollars, so it works out to be maybe 60 to 70 American. And these people are spending $500 American on a set of gear when they need four or five different sets if they're on tour, so they can't wash, say if they can't wash their gear, they need four or five different sets so their gear doesn't smell, because they're all about hygiene and how professional they can be. So they need to spend $4,000 or $5,000 on wrestling attire when some Australians are complaining about maybe spending $200. So there's a big difference in professionalism over there as well.
With the UK scene, they seem to have a better run as far as getting the wrestling out there to the general public. Things like the Insane Fight Club documentary about ICW, the TNA, like whenever they're doing shows over there, Impact, they sell out their house shows and their tapings, and the crowds go nuts for it. Is there more of a feeling amongst the wrestling community in the UK that they can bring it to the mainstream even more so, like maybe an IC dub will end up with maybe a TV contract or something like. What's the general vibe amongst the UK scene? Because we're going to get Jimmy Havoc on here soon. Our mate Stell from Shoot the Defence, he's lined us up a chat, so we're going to make that happen. But what's your take on that?
My take on this is there's enough good Australian wrestling where it can be on TV, and there's enough bad wrestling in England where it shouldn't be on TV, but it is. So it's a business at the end of the day, and it's just whoever can play the business game the best. With the crowds over there, the crowds are the most vocal crowds in the world. Japan will sit and clap, and Australian crowds, you have to spoon feed at times, but the English and the UK crowds are the loudest crowds in the world. And I've heard that from podcasts with AJ Styles on it and many other people, that the English crowds just go off. And it's growing over there, and people have said the Europe scene is the hottest scene in the world right now, because Progress have their rookie shows and they sell out, and that's called Endeavor, and they sell out maybe 200 seats. Their main shows, they'll sell out 1,000 seats in half an hour, and that's crazy to even think that could happen. And they've even got Progress On Demand now, which is their online TV demand series, much like the WWE Network, where you can watch any show, you can watch extras, you can watch interviews, you can watch their rookie shows, the main shows, all for maybe $9 Australian a month. And that's not too bad, considering what you get.
That is pretty good, yeah, because I guess that equates to, what, about £5 UK or something?
£4.99.
There you go, yeah. So that's a, you know, they've worked it out that it's a good price for, you know, for people to actually get into it. Because it's tough now for people trying to break into that on-demand market when people look at WWE and they see that, okay, well, I can get all of this content for $10, and then people are putting up, you know, pay-per-view on-demand, you know, just one show for maybe $8 to stream or $15 to download it. And it's getting a bit harder for the I guess if you've got a library and then you can give them access in a network sort of way where, all right, for $5 a month or whatever, you know, here you go, here's everything. Yeah, that's the only downer, I think, with WWE Network, is that it's making it harder for those companies to make money. But then at the same time, people are getting used to the online format of streaming things, you know, not buying DVDs. So maybe they're going to be more open to checking out their websites. I don't know, but
if there's a different niche style wrestlers among little independent promotions that people are keen to watch, there's no reason why people online won't buy and download those products still, even though the WWE will offer the network for $10, I believe. Because even though I was overseas, I was still keeping up with RCW, I was still keeping up with MCW, and I was watching the shows, and it was great to see friends that were doing so well back home, and great to see MCW selling out Essendon, considering they've been there for only a few months now.
Yeah, because that's really tough when you move into a new area. There might be that one sort of initial, like, oh, let's check this out, and then, you know, it's hard to keep that regular sort of crowds happening. But MC Dub, you're going to be there this Saturday night. If this shows out in time, which it should be this Saturday night in Essendon, it's Caged Warfare, and that's going to be a massive show, because, you know, you've got the angle leading up there with the Estate versus Team Juicy. You know, that's been burning for a while now. And how are you feeling going into, you know, sort of you've done the tour, you had a couple of days off, you've had the flight back. How are you feeling physically going into this show?
Physically, I've never been this lean before, and I'm weighing in at 97 kilos today. I haven't wrestled MCW for 8 months. I've filmed most of my training in UK, and I've been watching back and revising it, and I'm feeling confident about it. There's nothing else to say. I'm tagging with Fox, and I've trained with Fox in the past, and he started at George Julio's Hitman's Gym. We both wrestled together and against each other at New Age Wrestling many times before. I've wrestled him at Platinum Wrestling, and we've got a lot of experience, so I know how he works. I've wrestled Lockie Hendricks my last match at MCW about 8 months ago. So for the four of us to be in the ring, it's going to be interesting to see how it will go down.
Yeah, Fox Grinder, he, so you were saying from George Julio's school, which is, you know, sort of a New Age Wrestling in Melbourne, in Victoria. And I was chatting to somebody not too long ago about this, where there tends to be a, for people of different levels, there's somewhere to start, you know what I mean? So whether it's Vicious Pursuit, yeah, or whether it's NAW.
And the passion that some people have. Fox is determined, and Fox trains the Carlo Cannons. Fox will still go down to George's, and Fox will do private sessions with Carlo. He'll get on as many shows as he can, and he will travel. Say Fox has been doing, Fox has been doing what he has for the last 2 years that I know of, and he's been doing it constant. Now, you compare Fox that works as hard as he does for the last 2 years compared to wrestler B that may have been doing it for 6 years, but maybe once or twice a month among the same people, and maybe he trains once a week. Who's the better wrestler? Who's more experienced? Everything else. You've got to weigh it up. Fox still goes to the gym. Fox works on his powerlifting and works on leaning up at the same time. He's got more professional looking gear. He's got long hair, where not many people these days will have long hair, as they all want the athletic look. So Fox stands out for whatever he does. Fox is a brawler, and Fox is good for what he does.
Dave Farley, Dave of Storm, he was talking about this on his new episode of On the Fringe with Richter from The Solution, so check that out, folks. It's a cracker of an episode.
I already have.
There you go. Shooter's already all over it. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, when you've got, you know, obviously a guy like him can go to different promotions, and yourself included, and you've got those guys who are... The guys who are at the top, they've also had the experience, and they've also been in these different types of environments, you know, in the ring and whatnot, booking, all this sort of thing behind the scenes. They've seen it all, and that makes it easier, I guess, for people to look at a higher standard and go, okay, I want to reach that level, you know. It's whereas, you know, some places you just have these guys who, you know, the guys on top are really not that... really not that flash, or they're unsafe. You can just tell that even as a fan watching, and you go like, oh geez, well, how are the rookies going to fare under somebody like that? But you know, now there's more and more good trainers around that yeah, if you got someone to look up to, like you know, whether it's the Bassos, or whether it's George Julio, or it's Carlo Cannon, all these sort of people, Dave Farley, you know, you're laughing, really.
I was trained by Mike Burr originally, and Mike Burr is a phenomenal wrestler if you look at all his old PWA stuff, and even if you look at the way he throws forearms and he throws people around the ring these days. But still, there was only so much I could learn from Mike, and Mike still knows way more than me, but I had to venture, I had to travel out. And even when I was in Japan, and I was staying in contact with him since he came down from the Gippsland tour, but Lance Hoyt, which is possibly coming down to Australia later this year, was giving me advice on how to go with my career, looking at different options, how to get to certain places, how to present myself, how to write a resume, how to write a CV, what not to do, what to be careful of, how to learn from his mistakes, how to stay away from certain things. So there are enough former WWE, former TNA, former this, former that people out there that have been there, done it, that are willing to hand down advice. That's why whenever there's a seminar and a person's been somewhat successful and some people don't attend it for their ego, or maybe they don't want to spend the extra $20 to invest in their own career, I question that on how much do they want it. If you do a seminar and you spend $30, but you walk away with one piece of advice that sticks to you, then you've got your money's worth.
Chavo Guerrero, he's going to be down soon for MCW. He's going to be doing a seminar. I know he's going to be heading to New South Wales as well for a show. I don't know if he's doing a seminar up there for AWE or whoever it may be, but yeah, Chavo Guerrero on his way, so we'll get the details for you on that later on in the show. Now, let's talk a bit about ice cream. You're an ice cream connoisseur. What have been some of the great flavours that you've tried, some of the great stuff that you've been hitting on your tour in the UK, and how does Japan go for ice cream and for donuts?
Japan's pretty phenomenal for ice cream. They lack pizza due to the Japanese portion size is very small, so their pizzas are small compared to how I regularly have my pizzas, which is family size. But I like nice ice cream with maybe a couple of bananas down the bottom, some chocolate sauce swirled around the bowl, so it's got a nice swirl effect going on. But I found that whatever I can have, I'll work it into my daily calorie and my daily macronutrient intake, so then I can still regulate and work out what goes in my body and what I can afford to eat with the rest of the day. So I may have a remainder of 50 grams of protein and 90 grams of carbohydrates and 12 grams of fat I need to have for the rest of the day. So as long as it falls into those categories, I can afford to eat it. And it's the same program that Kellyanne's been doing and Josh Extreme have been doing. And that's why they have leaned up so much and they look so great. And they can regulate on what they eat. They don't have to mentally stress out about having a cheat day or what they can and can't eat, whether it's clean food, because no one can describe what clean food is. So it's just dieting and working out what works best for their body.
Tell you what, you're dropping some science here. I reckon a healthy living and cooking lifestyle program might be in the future for you, I reckon, dude. They're dropping waxing lyrical on the factoids.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't know if you've had a situation like this where you've tried ice cream that it's so good that you'll go to any lengths to get it and to eat it. When I was about 16, I was in Sydney, and by Darling Harbour they had this awesome ice creamery, which was owned by a couple of Italian, basically an Italian family, and then it was taken over by Haagen-Dazs or something, I don't know. But they had the most amazing ice cream, this hazelnut ice cream, massive double cone, walking along the harbour, and what happens? It falls off the cone. Now, I don't know if you've been to Darling Harbour, folks. Anyone that's been there knows that there is just an absolute pile of bird shit all over, like the walkways around. I thought about it. I thought about it for a moment, and then I said, fuck yeah, and I actually picked it up, and I ate it, and I risked death and possible disease, I know, but it was brilliant. It was great.
As long as you got it in the end. What flavour was it, though? Was it chocolate? Was it vanilla, strawberry?
I believe it was banana on the bottom layer, and then the top scoop was hazelnut.
Good, good. I'm a fan of vanilla or good chocolate ice cream with some fruit on the side.
The soft serve range at, say, your McDonald's, will you go near that, or is that just below you as far as ice cream goes?
I'm not saying it's below me. I'm just saying it's a cheap man's choice for ice cream, and you won't really enjoy it as much as you would for spending the extra $2 elsewhere.
Yeah, and waffle cone?
Oh, waffle cones are great. I've got nothing against the waffle cones.
Waffle cones are awesome. So, and how's the merch sales going lately? Have you been pumping out the? You said you were designing a new shirt as well. So, what's the go?
Yeah, I've got two new shirts coming on its way, and I'll hopefully have them released in the next 6 weeks. I've seen previews of the first shirt design, which is going to be a Dragon Ball Z theme due to the new season coming out in July, which I cannot wait for. Absolutely. And I've got new promo photos, which I'm getting edited up at the moment. I've posted a few online, and I'm going to be printing and selling 8x10s worldwide. And I also have an interview with Tag Rope Magazine and two DVDs coming out that I'm working on. It's going to be nothing special, but it's a mini project and something I'm trying to do that's outside the box besides the generic wristbands or 8x10s or T-shirts that everyone else is doing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but you were mentioning that it was going to be, I guess, looking at the tour, recently and just and that sort of thing. So that'll be sort of, really cool that, there's extra content. Like Elliot Sexton and Mr. Juicy, they had their DVD come out not too long ago, and that's getting rave reviews, like it's because it's something different,
Exactly. What was that DVD called? Was it the Weekend Warriors?
Weekend Warriors, that's it. That's the one.
The Weekend Warriors.
The Ultimate Weekend Warriors.
That's it. Amazing pun there, Josh. And I'm just going to get some quick plugs in. I've got OCW on the 22nd. I've got MCW on the 23rd. If I'm going to be appearing on that show, yet to be confirmed and yet to be announced. And I have Platinum Wrestling Enterprise at the end of the month. I'm plugging my Twitter, which is at Joshua Shooter. My Instagram, hardwayinc_JoshShooter, all one word. And my Facebook page is Josh Shooter. Just search for that and send me a message if you ever want any merchandise. I can sign and post out to you no matter where you are.
Very, very cool. And thanks, dude, for having a chat. We finally got it done. So it's in the can. It's ready to rock and roll. Just a big thanks for being a good dude in the scene. It's very cool.
Anytime, man. Peace out, Josh.
And we'll be back in a second.
Song and I won't.
Chew the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence.
Now, as mentioned there with Josh Shooter, Chavo Guerrero will be in action for Melbourne City Wrestling at Ballroom Brawl May 23rd. Now, Melbourne City Wrestling have announced they're hosting a training seminar with Chavo at the Thornbury Theatre, Sunday, May 24. The seminar commencing at 11 a.m. This special event is open to any and all existing pro wrestlers who are looking to learn from a man who's pretty much travelled the world, you know, a million times over. Held championships with, obviously, WWE, WCW, and TNA. The cost for the seminar is $100, which also includes entry to MCW's Ballroom Brawl event taking place at the Thornbury Theatre the night before. So if you want to get in on this, it's a great opportunity to learn from someone who's been at the top, really knows what it takes to get there, and you know, has spent his entire life in the business. Spots are limited, and you can secure yours by heading to the link on melbournecitywrestling.com.au, and for any further details from there, just email melbcitywrestling@live.com. that's melbcitywrestling@live.com. And just quickly want to throw a big thank you out there to everybody on Facebook for the support last week. I wouldn't call it a meltdown. It didn't show my genitalia or anything like that. But just, you know, you all know who you are out there. And especially Dave Farley, host of On The Fringe podcast, and Dave Storm from EPW. He's the man. And just thanks for reminding me really why I love doing this. It, yeah, just, it's good to know that there's people around who actually dig what we do here. And not only that, but, you know, who are just sort of the out there to say, hey, you know, keep at it. So, and yeah, just thanks heaps. So really appreciate that. Now, coming soon on WRA, one of the most talked about wrestlers down under at the moment, Sid Parker, will be chatting with me this Wednesday night for next week's episode. So, and then next week, I'll be catching up with Dean Brady from Riot City Wrestling. He was voted the breakout star at the in-house RCW Awards this year and had a great match with Adam Brooks last weekend. So no doubt we'll be talking about that, plus much more. Hit us up at the Wrestle Radio Australia Facebook group, or on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU, and just, yeah, hit us up there. We've got probably got a photo up on Facebook by now with Sid Parker there. Then next week, or in a few days, we'll start getting your questions for Dean Brady. Now, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating, a review, or a little comment wherever you found it, whether it's, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or the FNX.network page there for the show. Check out Wrestle Radio Australia on YouTube as well for interviews from 2014 and 2013. Buddy Murphy, Mark Williamson, Lord Mark Williamson, pardon me, Adam Brooks, Sean Fuster, who is now one of my commentary partners at RCW, and Wolfdog, I'm getting you on soon, buddy. We're going to make that happen, don't worry. Rocky Monero, Rove McManus, Adam Pearce, Kellyanne, Savannah Summers, plenty more up there. If you want to learn all about the Australian pro wrestling circuit, the industry down here, and learn about, you know, more of the personalities involved, get onto it. It's well worth a listen, even especially for those you know, who are actually wrestlers or trainees. There's great words of wisdom from many of the top stars around the country. Facebook.com/WrestleRadioAustralia is where you can find us on the old Bookface, and Twitter at WrestleRadioAU. You can find me at Josh J.D. Armour. Hit us up and say good day. Big thank you to Thunderstag for our awesome entrance theme, Dane Davies for our main logo, FNX.network, and once again, Josh Shooter, thank you very much, brother. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.